there's always these touch points in romance stories where the one who's never bending suddenly bends. I mean, I'm basically quoting Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God. Like,
hello, and welcome to Revel, a collection of Rom's comedies, dramedies, and rom-com oddities. My name is Rhoda, and I'm here with Nicole, who produced the show you're about to hear, Elixir.
Be sure to stick around afterward to hear Rhoda and I chat about vulnerability and favorite famous romances. We'll be right back just after this.
I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
At long last, the final patron vacated the jaded rose. Rolf sagged against the glass door of the flower shop with relief. When Vera asked him to watch the bar, he didn't think she meant all bloody night. A moment later, Jane appeared, rubbing the small of her back. Busy night? I'm sorry. Rolf locked the door and crossed the room. Vera had an errand. I didn't realize she'd take so long. How much longer can we live this way? Once this baby arrives, will you keep working all night? Their eyes met. Her fingertips traced the swell of her stomach. I need more stability. We need it. Vera understands I'll need time off. Family matters more than anything to her. To me too, you know? Things are changing, Rolf. Locke is changing. We need to change too. Otherwise, we'll all end up behind bars, just like your uncle.
Realm presents Elixir, Episode 4.
Vera felt her body tip over the lip of the dam in slow motion. The last thing she saw was Elsie, wide-eyed in horror. Then ice-cold water engulfed her. She screamed and felt water surge down her throat. Pure Dwymer. She was everywhere and nowhere. Everyone and no one. She inhaled, and it was the wind through mountain slopes. Exhaled, and it was avalanches breaking free from glaciers. She looked inward and found a great branching tree at her core. Family. Living first. Rolf, Art, Benji, and all their other cousins. A whole parade. Her father blinked into view for a split second. And Vera tried to grab him, but he was gone again. Finally, one approached, brighter than the rest. Marta.
Mom.
Vera was 16 the last time she'd seen her mother. Marta looked just the same as she had in life. The other relatives vanished in pops of stardust. "Am I dead?" Vera asked. It didn't frighten her. She felt only regret. "My family still needs me." Vera's family was her whole world. If they didn't need her... "What's the point?" she whispered. Marta smiled. "Exactly that. The meaning of life is we make our own meaning. Tell your father I miss him." Vera opened her mouth to apologize, to admit she couldn't tell Dad anything. Instead, she vomited lake water. Her skin itched. She ran hands. Hands. She had hands. Over her face. Dug her nails in until someone peeled them away.
"Shh.
Mom?" Energy sparked and hummed along her nerves. She drifted off for a second, or a year. Carriage wheels. She groaned. "Make it stop." A soft towel daubed at her mouth.
"Going to be okay?"
"Will be. A waiting game now." Vera hiccuped. In reply, gloved hands tangled in her hair.
"She keeps asking for her mother. She and Marta were close. What happened?"
"Shallows fever. Don't know if you'll recall the outbreak. It wasn't as bad up in the cliffs, and you must have been young."
"I was 12, of course I remember. I lost my grandfather."
"I'm sorry, I shouldn't have assumed."
"You're right, though. Gentry neighborhoods didn't get hit nearly as hard as Dockside."
The fingers wound through Vera's hair again, stroked it, a gentle rhythm. Vera didn't remember anything more until someone nudged her awake.
"Vera?"
Elsie, backlit by the bare bulb of the Jaded Rose's rear entrance.
"Do you think you can walk?"
She squinted, rubbed her eyes. They burned, and she felt dried tear tracks on her cheeks.
"Source! What a fun inebriate I make."
Maud's head appeared.
"Regular barrel of laughs, my niece."
Elsie looked bewildered, which made Vera laugh harder. Maud rolled her eyes.
"Rest of the high will alternate between laughter and stray bits of power. Make sure she doesn't try to fly. They always want to bloody fly."
"Oh, good idea." Vera felt her weight rise off the seat. Elsie and Maud grabbed an arm each.
"Tie her down if you have to,"
Maud suggested, opening the back door.
"Sounds naughty."
Vera wagged a finger at her aunt.
"Wake Rolf if she gets bad again, but I doubt she will. She's through the rough patch. Best thing for her now is sleep."
Vera wrinkled her nose.
"No sleep. I'm full of energy. Look."
She raised a palm and fired off a shower of sparks so hot, one burned a hole in the door.
"Good luck."
Maud clapped Elsie on the shoulder. Maud seemed to have forgotten her dislike of Elsie, just like the rest of the Reeves, whom Vera had watched soften toward Elsie all week.
"None as much as me."
"What's your secret?" Vera whispered after Elsie shut and locked the door. In the dim corridor, Elsie's hair looked more golden than ever, her irises bluer.
"She's the most beautiful person I've ever seen."
"I don't have any secrets."
"Liar."
Elsie flinched, and Vera regretted everything she'd ever said or done. She hurried to explain.
"With my family. You just charmed everybody so quickly, I wanted to know the secret. You might have noticed we're a tad... well...
Elsie smiled.
"Prickly?"
"I was going to say discerning, but that too."
Elsie laughed, so close her breath tickled Vera's neck.
The hairs along Vera's arms rose. Vera moved by habit past the bar and storage rooms until she reached a narrow wooden door with a brass sextant for a handle. The entrance to her private laboratory, detached from the rest of the building and accessible only via this concealed staircase. But why was the key not fitting?
Here, let me.
Elsie's fingers brushed hers. Vera startled so hard she dropped the keys. On instinct, she twisted her wrist, and the key ring froze in midair. Elsie's eyebrows rose. She plucked the keys from orbit.
Handy trick.
Vera leaned against the frame.
Do you still think elixirs are poison?
Elsie undid the lock, shoved the door inward.
Perhaps we should talk about this when you're less...
ossified?
You know, that term comes from the bones they used to fish out of the Dwymer.
Yes, bodies of the magic drowned, which was almost you tonight. I'm not sure this is the ideal moment to defend elixirs.
Elsie pressed Vera's keys into her hand. Vera ignored the keys and caught Elsie's hand instead.
That's not an answer.
Vera stepped closer. Elsie's lips parted ever so slightly.
You've spent a week in my world, not to mention you lured in an awful lot of new victims to try my poison.
A flush crept up Elsie's neck. Vera so enjoyed her blushes.
I suppose I can see what you mean about gray areas. Not all elixirs are as deadly as I imagined.
So what you're saying is, I win.
Are you going to be insufferable about it?
Very.
Keeping hold of Elsie's hand, Vera tugged her up the stairs.
Come on, I need your help.
Normally, she maintained a strict no-visitors policy in her laboratory, but Vera couldn't do what she needed to do without a steadier pair of hands than she currently possessed.
Are you sure?
Elsie hesitated on the fourth step, withdrew her hand from Vera's.
I need an assistant. You need to cure your fear of elixirs. This will solve two problems.
Vera clambered the rest of the way up and pushed open the door to her lab. Vera shivered. She felt bare somehow as she watched Elsie drink in the space. Up here, more than anywhere else in the building, Vera felt connected to her father. It was this laboratory where, more often than not, Dad nodded off at his workbench in the wee hours. But looking at it through Elsie's eyes, Vera wondered what the gentry woman would think. The worn-out cot in the corner was Vera's sad excuse for a bed. Otherwise, the room held two sinks, one for tap water and one that pulled Dwymer from the vats and storage, several dusty bookshelves full of handwritten family recipes, and a host of distillation equipment. Her heart ached with memory. The first time her father taught her to fill this bottle.
Now our family has a lot of secrets, doll.
Dad would not approve of sharing said secret with Elsie.
But Dad isn't here.
He got himself arrested, left her to shoulder the whole family alone, and tonight was an emergency. Vera crossed to the workbench.
I need your help distilling an elixir.
Me? But I don't know anything. Wouldn't it be dangerous to...
We covered this, Princess. The danger of elixirs is all in the quantity.
Vera bent to clear away the elixir she'd been distilling the last time she was up here. The transparent bottle held a molasses-thick, dark liquid.
Take this memory elixir, for example. A spoonful can cleanse a terrible memory. A full glass, and you'll forget your own name.
She held it up, inches from Elsie's face.
Speaking of quantity, is taking another elixir wise?
Gently, Elsie eased the bottle from Vera's grasp and placed it on a shelf.
Haven't you ingested enough magic for one night?
Exactly.
Vera grabbed a beaker instead and dove for the Dwymer tap. Electricity leapt between her hand and the pipe. She shook her wrist with a curse. Sighing, Elsie took the beaker too.
All right, I'll help. Just sit over there and don't touch anything.
Obediently, Vera sat. Almost at once, a wave of exhaustion struck her. What time was it?
Vera?
Elsie prompted. With effort, she dragged her eyelids wider.
Right tap. Fill her up. Okay, now here's where it gets complicated.
Vera directed Elsie to the table.
Just what I want to hear.
Luckily, Elsie proved steady-handed. Vera talked her through dissolving a small amount of charcoal into the Dwymer water. Next came the saffron threads, which needed to be heated in a copper pan, stirred constantly so as not to burn. Now, we grind it. Vera offered a mortar and pestle. Elsie tipped the threads into the mortar.
I had no idea apothecary work was so closely related to cooking.
I'd say more like baking than cooking. You've got to get everything just right. She reached around Elsie, meaning to guide her wrist. But the instant their skin touched, every burner in the lab came on, flames leaping a foot high. Vera jumped backward.
Sorry.
Elsie's mouth pinched. Vera couldn't tell whether she was worried or trying not to laugh.
Are you going to tell me what I'm making?
It's called a cure-all. My great-grandfather's recipe. Dad always called it the Reeve's greatest invention. It instantly nullifies the effects of Dwymer water.
Wow. Why aren't vials of this in everyone's home? It could save lives.
That's ready. For a while, Vera dodged the question, talking Elsie through grinding the thyme as well, then pouring the grayish solution of herbs and Dwymer water into a crystal globe. With their heads bent close, Elsie's breath tickled her cheek. Then Elsie nudged her.
You still haven't explained why medics don't stock your cure-all.
Vera heaved a sigh. They can't. Elixirs are illegal, even ones that help people. The Thornleys made sure of that. Elsie winced. Vera barely noticed. She was thinking about what she just said, because, yes, now elixirs were illegal. But back in her great-grandfather's time, and even in her father's early days, elixirs had still been legal. Why did the Reeves keep this cure-all such a tightly guarded secret?
It's just how we do things.
Family tradition. Anyway, it was a moot point now. Vera leaned against the workbench.
You're good at this, you know.
Dawn had just begun to color the curtains. It painted Elsie's face pale orange.
I had a good instructor.
Elsie smiled. Not her flamboyant stage smile. A small one. Secret. And just for Vera. You'd make a decent apothecary.
Oh, sure. The apothecary who refuses to try elixirs.
You don't have to take them to make them. Vera reached up without thinking and caught one of Elsie's blonde curls. She tucked the curl behind Elsie's ear. You could. Vera tilted forward, closed the gap between them, ever so slightly. If you wanted to, try one of my elixirs. I won't even charge.
Is that so?
A shiver passed through Elsie's body. Her gaze dropped just for a second to Vera's lips.
Tempting.
Yes, Vera breathed.
You are.
The air between them grew heavy, charged. She tilted her head, their gazes locked. It would be so simple to lean in, to press her mouth to Elsie's.
Vera, we shouldn't.
Elsie was leaning the wrong direction now, away from Vera. Damn it all, why?
Oh!
Elsie spun away so fast her curls grazed Vera's cheek.
Is it finished?
Vera took a deep breath. It didn't help. Hoping the heat in her face didn't actually show, she wafted one hand over the neck of the bottle. A scent like the first fall of snow washed over her. Only one way to be sure. But first, she raised a finger. One last trick. She winked at Elsie, just as snow began to fall from the ceiling. Fat, glittering flakes, impossibly big. Elsie laughed, delighted. Gaze fixed on her, Vera unhooked the bottle and swallowed a mouthful. The snow vanished. All the power winked out of Vera's veins at once. She gasped at its sudden absence. Worried, Elsie stepped closer.
Are you all right?
Vera looked at Elsie with dawning horror. What have I done? Vera let someone, an outsider, into her lab. She showed Elsie how to distill an elixir. The cure-all, no less. Her father would kill her if he knew. She took a step backward. Another.
Vera? Talk to me. Did I make it wrong? Are you hurt?
No. She pressed a hand to her forehead. It's fine. I'm fine. Just tired. Can you please leave?
Are you sure you don't need me anymore?
For a moment, Elsie just stood there blinking, confused. Vera could guess why. A few seconds ago, she'd been close to kissing the woman.
I've lost my mind.
No, I don't. She turned her spine to Elsie. She didn't look up again until Elsie was gone.
Hey everybody, it's Kaylin at Revel, and I want to tell you about Green Chef. With curated market items to support clean eating, Green Chef is convenient and healthy. They use fresh, organic foods, as well as 100% sustainably sourced seafood and antibiotic and hormone-free chicken. And they have vegan and keto and lots of other options for you too. Green Chef can help you save time in the kitchen with dinners that take 30 minutes and lunches that take 10. I love Green Chef because it takes the guesswork out of eating healthy so I can focus on other things that I really care about, like going to the park with my dog or playing music. So if you want to free up more time to do things that you love, go to greenchef.com/revel50 to get 50% off plus 20% off the next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/revel50 to get 50% off plus 20% off the next 2 months.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Elsie was meant to be setting up. The Jaded Rose opened in an hour, and half the chairs were still resting on top of the tables. But her temples pounded so hard she couldn't stay on her feet. Elsie looked over just as Vera set something on the table. A small black onyx vial on a gold chain. Vera smiled, sheepish.
You made it. You deserve to keep the rest of the cure-all. In case you ever need to rescue some prickly jerk from her own mistakes again.
About last night, or, well, this morning. Vera would have kissed her last night if Elsie had allowed it. It wouldn't have been right, though. Vera had been impaired from all that Dwymer water. Vera shook her head.
Thank you. I should have said it sooner. You saved my life. Elsie, I won't forget that.
Are you feeling any better?
Vera leaned against the table. Better than you look. Elsie snorted.
Why, thank you.
She scrubbed a hand over her face. She was doing all of this, sleeping in that cramped storage vault and working in a hush bar for Lou. And now...
Is Harlow really that popular? He made it sound like he runs the busiest bars in Locke.
The corners of Vera's lips twisted.
I suspect he puts addictive substances in his recipes. It keeps a lot of unlucky customers hooked.
Surely Lou could not have fallen for a criminal, an attempted murderer.
Harlow must be lying about my sister. There's no way Lou would date someone so cruel.
Vera swung one leg out, seeming not to notice when it brushed against Elsie's.
When Harlow first saw you, he said, "Where is it?" Then something about selling him out. Any idea what that meant?
He said Lou ran out on him. Maybe she took something when she left. To get revenge? He's been threatening you, right? You've mentioned him before.
Yes. Until last night, though, it was only talk. He prefers easy targets. But bars like mine are different. We have connections. Experience.
So... He doesn't take over because you're too big and famous?
Elsie couldn't resist a sly smile. Scoffing, Vera nudged her leg.
You make me sound like a braggart.
If the high and mightiness fits.
Vera laughed. Then she pointed at the vial around Elsie's neck.
He wants our family recipes. However, I have contingencies. If he just bursts in, all the recipe books and equipment go up in smoke.
You'd destroy your family's legacy?
Elsie raised her eyebrows.
To keep it from Harlow? Hell yes.
Elsie studied Vera.
Clearly, my sister took something Harlow wants. Help me find her, and we can use whatever it is to stop him coming after you.
I have enough problems on my plate, Elsie.
So let's agree. We each take care of our own business, first and foremost. But insofar as that business crosses over... Partners?
Elsie stuck out a hand. Emotion flickered across Vera's face, complex, and gone before Elsie could decipher it. Finally, Vera grasped her palm.
Deal. I've got business at another hush bar. Not sure whether you're still scouring other establishments for Lou, but if so, you're welcome to tag along.
Elsie needed answers. And how had she gotten her only two leads so far? Andromeda mistook Elsie for her sister. Arlo did the same. Actually, I've been thinking about that.
Time to try a new tactic. She'd have to face her fear.
Were you serious about letting me have an elixir?
Hi everyone, I'm Rhoda, and I'm here with Nicole. We just finished up episode 4, where Vera was fished out of the river, thank God. And then we got a little more romance between her and Elsie. What are you thinking, Nicole?
Well, I love when a character with a hard shell has a moment of vulnerability. And, you know, Vera always has her guard up, and this is a time where she really can't. And Elsie gets to get a little closer to her and learn a little bit more about her and her family and why she is the way she is.
I mean, like, my zodiac sign is Cancer, so I know all about this kind of, like, hard shell, hard to open up. But then when you do, they're this and they're that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love there's always these touch points in romance stories where the one who's never bending suddenly bends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm basically quoting Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, in that Tale as Old as Time song where they're like, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Da-da-da-da-da. That is a very key moment in the...
yeah. Or no, the teapot. Yeah,
excuse me, the tea kettle. Excuse me. There is something about in this particular type of dynamic that you see in romance, like that moment. Can you think of any that like stand out to you?
And what's interesting about this in particular is that there is always this formula in like not a bad way, which is that the person who on paper is more experienced, more mature, has their life a bit more together, right? Like there's an inherent power dynamic that shifts because of this. You know, this mature, responsible, more worldly one is able to open up. And I think that that's really nice, too. It, like, levels the playing field between these two characters because it shows that even if Elsie's sheltered in a certain way, she's still kind of more abundant in her kind of emotional capacity or has been up until now.
Yeah.
I really, really love this. What's something that you, like, really loved?
Man, favorite romances.
Besides Beauty and the Beast.
I love Beauty and the Beast. I also am a huge Titanic fan, which I don't think, it does have a little bit of, like, the upper class worldly woman and the rough and tumble counterpart, but he's really the one chasing her throughout that. And so the moment where she bends or stops resisting is, of course, the iconic standing at the head of the ship.
Recreated so many times.
Yeah.
I love
fingers
it.
Entwined, you know? As he sings Come Josephine. Love that moment. I am very excited to see what happens next. You know, Elsie is saying that she's going to try an elixir for the first time.
Yeah.
And we don't know which one.
Ooh, they're going to experiment together. That is huge. That's a really big kind of milestone in a relationship is to do drugs together for the first time. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining me in this listen. We'll see you guys next time. Find more shows like this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Revel is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Audio editing by Kaylin West and Sam Bagala. Theme music by Hashem Asadolahi. Featuring performances by Hashem Asadolahi, Josiah Lamb, Alan Ferber, and Mike Forzano. Theme music mixed by Justin Morell. This season of Revel is hosted by Rhoda Baeza and Nicole Otto. You're listening to Revel, Elixir, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Elixir is written by Ellen Goodlett and performed by Keeler Lee, Marin Miller, and Ava Mag. Produced by Nicole Otto. Executive produced by Molly Barton. Audio editing, sound design, and theme music by Amanda Rose Smith.